Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I am so excited that you're here today as we are getting to chat with our friend Marie Claire. Marie Claire is an independent artist here in Nashville, and she is also an incredible woman of the Lord. She is a singer, songwriter, and just a woman that walks in the Spirit in such a way that inspires me so much. Today she is sharing her story with us and all the redemptive parts in and through it from her teen years to now in her mid-20s. I am so grateful for her life. And I'm so grateful that we get to share this time together. Also, friends, Marie Claire is dating our friend Matt Mitchell. And you know him, you love him. If you've heard him on Faith and Friends before, he's been on here 3 times so far. And I'm so grateful for the conversations that we've had. And hearing Marie Claire's heart has just been incredible. So I pray that this episode meets you right where you're at. Truly, God's word says that he works all things together for our good and for his glory for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Marie Claire's story is just pure evidence of that. And so I pray that this episode blesses you. And there's so many things that we talk about. And one of the things that we talk about is her music. And she has a virtual concert coming up. She's going to tell all the details in this episode. So pay close attention because Faith and Friends, oh, this sweet community that we have, I really would just love if we could wrap around Marie Claire during this time. It's so incredible. So, oh, you're going to love her as much as I do. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation. So, okay, let's just dive right in. Marie Claire, it is so good to see you, sister.
So good to see you.
Thank you so much for just spending a little bit of time with us today. I am really so excited to hear all the things, like truly all the things, because I feel like I know you and I know you from Instagram and you're the real deal on and off the screen, but I want to hear from you where you've been on this whole journey. I saw you one time randomly at Spike Ball, which I don't even know the rules of Spike Ball, but if you can do it, I know you could teach me.
That's amazing. Yes. Spike Ball is my favorite. I love it.
It's so fun, girl. Okay, so you literally, you're not a Nashville native, but now you're calling Nashville home. You're an independent artist that truly is so Spirit-filled. Like anyone that's around you can just tell that you're different. You're different and you just truly carry yourself and walk in the Spirit in such a way that draws it out of me. And it makes me want to just continue in my walk with the Lord. And I'm just so amazed. And so I'm just so honored to be hanging out with you today.
Wow. Well, I feel the same exact way about you. Your joy is contagious.
Praise Jesus. Girl, so take me back. Tell me about Marie Claire. What makes you you, sister?
Yes. Well, I grew up in Germany, so I'm born and raised in Germany. I lost my accent, so people can't tell anymore, but grew up there and then moved to America in elementary school, learned English. It was pretty rough learning English and the journey of just getting here. My family's German, and so transitioning to America was pretty tough for me. And then grew up around Atlanta, the Atlanta area. And then moved to Nashville 3 years ago to finish up college. So I was down in college in Georgia for a couple years studying music therapy. And then God just did something crazy with my life. And I my first semester there, I kind of got noticed as a songwriter, a singer. And everyone was just like, sing this downtown. And next thing you know, I had a band and all this stuff. And God was starting to show me the calling on my life of being an artist and being in the music industry. And it just started happening naturally. And I tried to push it away pretty much my whole life, but then it just started happening naturally when the time was right. And then moved to Nashville 3.5 years ago.
Wow.
Yep.
Girl, there's so much I can say.
A lot in there. I didn't have my salvation or anything, but that's my journey location wise. Yeah.
Wow. So the transition to America was hard, I bet, because you've already like learned a language, you were in a culture, and then you're transplanted to a new language, a new culture.
Yeah.
Oh man. Was your family Christ followers in Germany, or tell me about your walk with Jesus?
My walk with Jesus, my best friend. Yeah. I grew up in Germany in the Catholic Church. So that's the religion I grew up in. Both my parents love God a lot, but growing up in that religion, it was more hard for me to understand who Jesus really was and what he did for me, because the way I grew up, my experience in the Catholic Church, this is not against anyone that's in there, but just some of the traditions and things like that, I just didn't understand. And I didn't feel like I actually knew the heart of God. And so growing up, I thought it was punishment. He hated me. I was a failure. I have to go to confession. I remember I was 3 years old when I went to my first confession. And so I just knew, you know, my sin. I knew how evil I was all growing up, but I didn't know the goodness of God or that I could believe unto Jesus and my life could change or any of that. I didn't really even hear about how to get salvation, because in the Catholic Church, you're just born into the faith, which in the Bible, that is not the Bible. So, you know, you're not born into the faith. You believe unto Jesus and then you have faith. But I grew up with parents who really loved Jesus, you know, and then after we moved to America, we remained in the Catholic Church. But I kind of just, like I said, because I didn't know the actual heart of God, I just was like, I don't think this is for me. And yeah, I just kind of pushed him away. So then was rebellious for a lot of years. And in high school, you know, freshman year of high school, I was just like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what's going on. And I'm sure there's a lot of young girls going into their high school year or whatever. And I feel like a lot of people just have identity crisis. And so if you're one of those girls, like, just know you will never know who you are until you know who made you. And Jesus made you, and he can teach you who you are. But I tried to grasp onto anything to find out who I was. So for me, it manifested in like partying and guys. And that was rough for me because I'm a very passionate person, I'd say. And so when I'm in, I'm all the way in. And so, you know, I was finding myself 14 years old at these college parties and just really, you know, drinking all the time. And because of that, I knew that was wrong because of the way I grew up, right? Like, I knew the whole sin thing very well. And so it was just eating me alive. I was feeling so guilty all the time. Yeah, I would just wake up with so much shame every day. And so that turned into depression. And that was my sophomore year of high school, just like extremely depressed. I started asking the hard questions pretty early on in life, like, what is the purpose of life? And because I didn't know Jesus, I was like, there's no purpose. So then the depression led to thoughts of suicide, ending my life, because I just felt like there's no purpose. I tried the church, quote unquote, right? Growing up, I tried the whole God thing, and then I tried the world, and both are really letting me down right now. And so thank Jesus that he loves me and he was chasing me down. I had a teacher in high school named Coach Cagle. Shout out Coach Cagle. I took online German in high school because I was not the greatest student, or I guess I was a little lazy in high school. And so I already speak the language. So I was like, I'm just going to go in here and take online German and, you know, knock all the work out and then just be done for the semester and chill. Little did I know that my facilitator would be an incredible man of God. And he ran this club called FCA. It's like a Christian club that met before school, Friday mornings. And he, like, every day in class, he would just start saying these things to me, like, do you know how much you're worth? Or do you know how much God loves you? Just like planting these seeds. And I was just like, what? You know, I'd kiss my boyfriend and walk into class like I was it. And Coach Cagle would be like, do you know that man doesn't know your worth? Like, he would just say stuff like that.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh my gosh, what? And so long story short, he knew I was a singer. They needed a singer or a worship leader for the club. And he asked me to do it. And I said, do you not know what I do on the weekends? Like, I'm not really spiritual. And he was like, I just want you to sleep on it. Like, just sleep on it before you give me an answer. Like, your life might have to change your lifestyle, but just sleep on it. And so I slept on it and I was like, gosh, I really want to escape the partying lifestyle. Like, I don't know how to get out, but I want to get out. So maybe this is the way out. And so for a year and a half, I led worship at FCA. I stopped partying, but I did not have a new heart. The Holy Spirit had not met me yet. Jesus had not found me yet, or I had not found him. I had not accepted the invitation. So for a year and a half, I played Christian, but inside I was still dead. I started, you know, just because outwardly I was looking good, inwardly I was, and I feel like I'm supposed to say this, but I was struggling with porn and masturbation and different addictions like that were inward, because the reality is you can change your behavior, but if your heart isn't transformed, nothing matters. Nothing right. matters. So then after that year and a half, you know, hearing the gospel every day, I was being told what the gospel was. Jesus died for your sins. If you just accept him, you know, he washes you clean as snow. Like, he forgives you. There's grace upon grace. And I was like, that's not what I grew up with at all. So who's not telling me the truth, basically. So it confused me a lot. It confused me a lot. So I ended up going back to Germany because we would visit a lot. And that was my junior year of high school. And when I went back to Germany, I backslid really badly and just partied a lot and went through really a lot of traumatic things. Some sexual abuse happened, some things that really broke me and made me come to the point where I was like, I don't know who I am and I really don't know God, because I've been trying to do this and nothing's changing in my life, basically. And I just felt like I saw my sin, but I also felt so much shame and pain. And so then I went back to America and I had to lead worship at an FCA retreat. And I told them, I was like, I'm sorry, I can't do it anymore. Like, I can't fake it anymore, basically. And my teacher, my coach, he said, can you please just do this one last retreat? And little did I know that the Lord had showed him who I was going to be in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so he kept having faith. He kept having faith, even when I was showing up late, even when I was doing all that stuff. And he knew I didn't know Jesus yet, but he was letting me lead people out of faith. And, you know, the ministry was dwindling and he kept on having faith for me to be saved. So at this weekend, I remember I was about to lead worship and I was like, gosh, I cannot do this alone anymore. Like, I feel so rough. All this stuff just happened in Germany. I'm feeling so rough. And I remember I was like, if there's a God out there, could you please do something? That was my prayer. That was my attitude. Okay. I wasn't out here repenting. I wasn't crying, Lord. No, I was like, if you're real, can you please do something? Because I'm so sick and tired of this. I can't fake it. I can't sing How He Loves Us by David Crowder one more time until I know how you actually love me. Like, I just was tired of faking it. So literally after I prayed that, I was like, he's not going to do anything. And I just started bleeding worship. Mm-hmm. And I closed my eyes and all of a sudden I heard someone like shake me, like they were waking me up. And he was like, Marie Claire, Marie Claire. And I opened my eyes and literally no one was calling my name in the room. And then I was like, what's going on? And so I closed my eyes again. And literally I heard, Marie Claire, Marie Claire, you need to wake up. It's me, Jesus. And from that moment on, like, I had an encounter with Jesus that is pretty indescribable and unbelievable. Some people don't believe it, but I just tell it like it is because I can't really fake it.
Come on.
But I really got taken up into a different place and I could see myself actually leading worship. And I was having this encounter with Jesus and he started showing me my life, Georgia. He started showing me every room that I was in growing up where I didn't know him, where I was, you know, taken advantage of when I was a little girl, in these rooms where I just thought he's not there. And I saw him physically as a man in every room, all those painful rooms. And he would walk, every scene was the same. He would walk towards me and he would take whatever pain, offense, abuse, beating, whatever it was, he would take it for me. And then he showed me him walking up with the cross on Calvary and getting hung. And he said, I died for your sin. I died for your pain. And that was the first time the gospel was ever connected to me and my story and me actually understanding, oh my gosh, this is me and you. Like, you died for me. You died for my sexual abuse. Like, what is going on? You took that on your shoulders. After that, he said, follow me. And I said, I don't know you. Literally. And he's like, exactly. But I know you. So if you take this step of faith, I'll move a mountain for you every day. And he made those promises to me and a lot of other things that I'm not going to say right now because I've been talking forever, but it was all scriptural and I had never really read the Bible up to this point. And so he told me, I said, what am I supposed to do? And he said, confess your sins to all of FCA and let them know that what just happened and then get a Bible and start reading it. And I'm going to send you mentors. Like, but he said, forget everything you know about me. I'm going to be your teacher now. And after that, I just started reading the Bible and all of a sudden I started seeing and reading the words he told me that night. And I was like, it really was him.
No way.
I can't fake this. No one was speaking the word of God into my life. So no, I don't know these words. So it was really crazy. So that's when I met Jesus. That was when I was 16. And since then, now I'm about to turn 24. So it's been almost 8 years. But, you know, I just want to say that, you know, I'm an artist, I make music, I'm doing this concert, I'm doing all these things, but really my life is about Jesus. Yeah. I know this world's going to fade. And I just want, you know, to build treasures that are in heaven. And so I'm totally in love with the Lord, and everything I do is from that point, and for others to know his love and know that he actually is real. So yeah, that's my dream with him. That's how I was saved. I know.
That's amazing. I love that. Thank you for sharing it. Like just the truth. Yes. And even down to the point of him calling your name 2 times.
Yes.
Is scriptural.
Wow.
You know, because whenever he called them, he said, Martha, Martha, it's this signification of just the importance of your name.
Wow.
And how he's talking directly to you.
Yes.
And no, our friends can't see this because this is obviously just a podcast, but you even tugged your right shoulder, and that is the side of blessing.
Wow.
And so everything,
Georgia.
Girl, down to the details, he's so good.
Thank you, God. He's so good.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. I did not know that. And I love that because I've heard him say, yeah, Martha, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't realize the significance of him saying my name twice, you know?
Yes. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Like it's just so beautiful. And even down to the beauty of your name. I read a post on your page that was so beautiful about just your name. And I love looking at people's names. I think it's so special. Georgia actually means farmer. So I'm like, yeehaw, Farmer Brown. But the way that you wrote this post out, and I know in your own words, it'll be all the more better, but just let's talk about for a moment the significance of a name, because when you were growing up, people would say, oh, hey, Marie. Oh, hey, Claire. And you're like, no. Like, my name's actually Marie Claire. And I know there's so many sisters out there that are probably like, no, I feel your pain, because people don't get it's my name. Like, that would be like someone calling me George or like Georgie. Like, that's cute and all, but like, my name's Georgia and I actually kind of love it.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So like I said, I'm from Germany. So we say my name, Marie Claire.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's like so much easier to say in German, because I've found that in English or in America, like a lot of the names are like Mary or like not Marie. That's a lot harder for some reason for people to say here. So yeah, my name, you know, coming to America, people were like, hey, MC. And my mom literally was like, no, you will not let anyone call you that. You will tell them it's Marie Claire. And I was just like, oh, wow. So she told me to fight for my name, because she said, it's so important. You were named this for a reason. And my parents were really specific with every name they gave me and my siblings. I have 3 siblings. And technically I've 6 siblings, 3 in heaven, but my mom had some miscarriages, but they named all of us so specifically, and they would pray and the Lord would give them these names. And so with my name, it has a hyphen in the middle. And so it's connected on my birth certificate. So that's always been, my mom has said, that's your first name. Claire's not your middle name. Marie Claire is your first name. So in school, you know, moving just especially to America, everyone's like, hey, Mary. And I'm like, no, it's Marie Claire. Okay, Mary. And I would just be like, it's Marie Claire. And I would start being like, getting so like, maybe I should stop, you know, maybe I should just let people call me whatever. But then I started realizing after I met the Lord, you know, I always sing Tasha Cobb's song, You Know My Name.
Mm.
But it's like God is sovereign God, right? Like we believe he's sovereign. So that means he was sovereign over the name I was given.
Yeah.
Which I believe our names speak something over our life. Like they literally speak something. So my name means bitter sweet. Marie means bitter. Claire means sweet.
Wow.
And if someone just calls me Marie, it's like, no offense to the Maries, but it's just bitter. It's half of it, you know?
Right, right.
Bitter, sweet. And then it's crazy. When I came to know the Lord, I had like 3 or 4 different people praying over me. And they were like, gosh, there's something about your name. It's almost like you're going to bring bitter into this, like, or you're going to bring sweet into the bitter. You're going to bring clarity into people's life. Claire, like you're going to, you know, the way you're going to speak, it's going to be so truth-filled that it's gonna be hard to swallow, but then it's gonna be sweet going down, like bittersweet, like all these things. And I was just like, whoa, okay. So when I changed, and then last year I had a dream about my new artist name. So when you look it up now, it's M-A-R-I-C-L-R. And because it used to just be Marie-Claire, my artist name on Spotify and stuff. But I felt like God showed me to do that new name. And I was like, why, you know? And I just felt like condensing that and putting it together was so powerful, because it was like, no, this is one name. Mm-hmm. Like, this is connected. Let's drop the hyphen so people have an option, you know, of just saying one thing, but like, it's connected and it's one name. And I really love the new artist name. So, but yeah, our name. You are my name. I sing that all the time.
Hallelujah. No, you're right. Because our name's truly from infants. That's what we're hearing most over us, mm-hmm. is your name, and your words truly have the power of life and death. And out of the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And man, oh man, the verse that you had in that post that I just loved was Isaiah 45, 3-4. But at the end of verse 4, it says, I call you by your name and I give you a title of honor. Our names have so much power. And so to the friend out there that is like, oh, I don't like, even friends of mine have said, oh, I don't like my middle name, or I don't like my name, or things like that. Just know that the Lord has called you, and even above the name that your parents have given you, your name is daughter, your name is son, and you are truly seated with the Father. And so, my goodness, just rest in that today. Rest in knowing that He knows your name.
Yes.
And something you said earlier about the Father knowing you, like Jesus knew you, but you didn't know Him. And I think that's something we're really lacking in this generation, is like, we're like, oh yeah, we go to church, or oh yeah, we're Christian. But it's like, do you know Him as much as He knows you?
Ooh, you better preach.
And so that's just something I'm thinking about, sweet friends. But another thing, when I think about Marie-Claire, I think about stewardship. You're such a good steward, like truly. Wow. In every season, we haven't been friends for super long, but I've just watched you steward what the Lord has given you. And I've seen Him entrust you with more. And it's so evident that He is truly, like you said, you're everything. It's just evident. Like, that's who you are. And so, man, you've been stewarding your gifts and talents and your voice, and going from music therapy to now the Lord saying, hey, I've called you to be an artist. I've called you to continue to write these songs. I've called you to soul music. I've called you to Nashville.
Yes.
And so, man, oh man, I don't know if there was just like a couple things you could say on stewardship of how you've seen the Lord just entrust these things to you, and even like walking in faith, even though you may be afraid. What has that journey been like?
Yeah, I think what you said, walking in faith. Stewardship is really important to God. Mm-hmm. There's a verse that says, the way you steward little is how you will steward much. I thought that verse said, if you steward little well, then you'll be given much. But actually, it's a verse on stewardship, of the way you're stewarding and handling what I've given you small, the smaller things, that is how you will steward it bigger. So take care of what I've given you. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that, you know, oh my gosh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. But right before I moved to Nashville, I had someone speak something over me, and he said, never despise small beginnings. And that really stuck with me about stewardship, because when I first moved to Nashville, I did not know one person. I came in a car by myself with only my clothes and my guitar. Background is, God told me to come to Belmont University, and I'm self-funded in college, and I did not have the money to come. And so I threw a huge fundraiser in 2019, and a bunch of college kids literally paid for my first semester at Belmont. And so I was able to move to Nashville and obey the Lord because of people's generosity and God doing a miracle. And so I moved, but stewardship, when I got here, I literally didn't know anyone. I had one room for 1 month, and I was like, okay, God, I need you to help me. And in the beginning, I was doing folk music, and I didn't really have direction, and I didn't know anyone. And so everything I would be given, I'd be like, okay, this is, you know, how can I handle this right now? How am I supposed to handle this? I want to be grateful. And so I think stewardship and gratitude are also connected. Like, be grateful for what you have.
Yeah.
Be grateful, because don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise the small thing. Like, handle it well. And I believe God will say, yes, my love, here's more. Let's upgrade you. Let's keep going up. It says those who humble themselves will be exalted. Yes. So humility, gratitude, and then also just like faith, like I said. I have a little tattoo of waves on my foot because I always want to be walking on water. I always want to be stepping out on faith. And so I believe when people are like, wow, like your life has changed so much over the past 3 years moving to Nashville, how have you gotten to these places? And I'm like walking by faith, literally like walking into rooms where I feel like, oh gosh, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now. I don't feel equipped, but here we go. I don't know how I got this opportunity. Let's do it, you know? And I'm just like, walk by faith. You know, if Holy Spirit is by my side and Jesus is with me, that's all I need. And we can do this task. We can do whatever we're given in front of us excellently. I also love, last thing on stewardship, it says you will be given new mercies every morning. And so just know that, you know, anxiety and things about stewarding stuff in the future comes because you're trying to look ahead when really you don't have mercy for that yet. You don't have that. God is not giving you mercy for the days to come. He's giving you mercy for today because there's new mercies tomorrow morning that will come and will help you through tomorrow's troubles. So I believe, yeah, hold on to that, trust that, and walk by faith, not by sight.
Girl, that's such a good word because we've been giving everything for today. Tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. And so tomorrow is the Lord's. And so all we can steward is today. And so, man, there's so much freedom in that too, of knowing like I've been given today. And so I'm just going to walk in it the best I can. And you've been given everything that you need for today. And then guess what? Tomorrow, same thing. And you know, my gosh, now 3 years later, you're still here. You're stewarding well. And the Lord has truly enlarged your territory in such a beautiful way. Now you have this concert that I just want to talk about because we have a couple weeks until like the actual day for us to like get our tickets, all the things. And so tell us about A Moment with Marie Claire. I'm just so excited.
Me too. Okay. So like I said earlier, when I wanted to come to Belmont to pursue music, I threw that fundraiser. So my goal, I told the Lord, I said, Father, whatever dream you have, whatever plans you have, I want to do them, but I want them to be debt free. I want you to pay for them. Someone at my church once told me like his will, his bill. And so I believe that. You know, cause I heard the things about starving artists and all these things were spoken over me. And I was like, absolutely not.
No,
I
will not be a starving
artist. I don't receive that. Exactly. Which guys, by the way, you have the authority to do that. If someone speaks something that is not the Lord's word over you, you just say, I reject that. You say it kind, but just don't receive it.
Yeah. It's like a seed trying to be planted on your heart. I kind of visualize it as a garden and you see that seed thrown and you're like, absolutely not. And you just pluck it out before it even takes root.
That's right.
Come on, girl.
Moved here, did that fundraiser. And then actually every semester at Belmont, I would fundraise and I would go to that semester. So I graduated Belmont at the end of 2020.
Woohoo!
Like about a year and some change ago. So that was a miracle in and of itself. I came out with like around 4,000, 5,000 in debt from Belmont because I got in a car accident. And so that kind of did something. But and then from my first school where I was studying music therapy, I had around 12. So all in all with interest, 20K. Okay. So basically when I graduated, I got this nanny job and I was grinding and I was making money. And I was like, if I can just be miserable for a year, then I can pay this debt off. Because I knew the promise of God. And I remember him telling me, I will pay your debt. I will pay your tuition. I felt like he made me that promise when I was at Belmont. So I was like, okay, you know what? I believe this, but what I've learned is that faith without works is dead. So every time God gives me a promise, I ask him, okay, God, what is my role? What do you need me to do? So after 3 months of grinding this job, actually I got released from that job and God told me to do full-time music. And I was like, what? This was last March. This was about a year ago. So I obeyed him. I started getting gigs, went full time, and now I've been doing that in a part-time job for over a year now, which is unbelievable. But obviously, you know, making less money. And so I was like, Lord, what? Like, you know, I wanted to pay off my debt. Like, hello, you told me that. So, you know, and he gave me this idea of a concert, because usually my fundraisers the past couple years would be touring, in-person concerts, and I would just share my story and then people would give me donations and that's how we would pay off my tuition. And so this time God was like, do a concert, but do it virtual. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, all your family in Germany, everyone that is around the world that can't come to your shows in person could join. And I was like, that's crazy. That opened up my audience so much. People mm-hmm. like on here, you know, that can't come to Nashville, that don't live in Nashville, can have a moment with Marie Claire in their living room. So that's why it's called A Moment with Marie Claire. It's a virtual fundraiser concert. Basically, we recorded it in December. It's like six of my songs. And then we had like a full piece band. I had a makeup artist and a stylist and the best crew, camera crew, mixing, like literally the best people, just very successful people in the music industry that were working on it. God just really gave me the best of the best. And we pulled it off. I co-produced it, the whole thing. And then we have some, here's a little teaser for everyone on here, but
come on, girl,
throughout the video. So it's not just a virtual concert. So the snippets I've been sharing have been just the music element. But yeah. There's actually like elements of me. We took a trip to Florida because the beach is where I feel most connected to God. So we did voiceover and photos and video footage of me. And it kind of takes you through a whole day with me, starting at sunrise to sunset. Really just a beautiful creative project that I'm so, so proud of, that I invested a lot of money and time into, which is another thing about stewardship that you asked me earlier. You know, God asked me, he said, you know, I want you to invest what you thought was for your debt, to pay off your debt, into this project.
Oh, wow.
And watch me multiply it. And it took so much faith, Georgia. Like, my finances have never been as risky as they are right now. I'll tell you that. It was pretty much my savings that I invested. And I said, okay, God, I'm doing this and I believe you want everything excellent. So I did it top notch. And so it's finally here, which is crazy. It's airing, it's showing on June 18th, virtual venue called Moment House. And so all the tickets are in my bio, all over Instagram. And then people have been donating money. So we've already raised $3,500.
Wow.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, out of the 20K. So I'm like, wow, the concert hasn't even happened yet. So it's going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have like an in-person watch party here at my new house in Brentwood. And I just moved like a couple days ago, and it's like a huge open floor plan. So we're having like a huge projector, and then we'll have a live element, which will be the after party. So for those to hang out that are in person, and then for those to hang out with me that are online for a Q&A after the show. So it's happening June 18th. And then it's also 72 hours on demand. So for those that can't make the showing, that you can watch it because it'll be sent to your email. And you'll be able to watch both sections, the actual show and then the after party. So pretty cool. I've, you know, put a lot of time and effort into it. I'm really, honestly, it's a test of faith. Like everything I've learned, this is just another stretching test of faith. You know, I've never done a fundraiser for this much money. I've never believed for 20,000. I've done 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, but I've never done 20. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, but, you know, the God that spoke and the world was created. For him, 20,000 isn't too much.
It's nothing. No.
Nothing. But I've definitely been challenged in my faith, just believing, trying to share as much as I can. You know, I don't have a team behind me. It's me, myself, and I, and the Lord. So
amen.
And me doing the marketing and me doing the sharing. So for anyone out there listening, if you want to share this concert, if you want to take part, I would be so honored and grateful to have you, and would love to get to know you as well. If you connected to my story at all, and this concert, this project is even more about my story and who I am and my music. So
Truly. Yeah. It's amazing. I'm just so proud of you. And I love to hear that you connect with the Lord at the ocean, because that was actually something I was going to ask you with mm-hmm. your writing process and songwriting. Ooh. What's that like for you? Because I'm so excited. I've been seeing all the teasers. I'm just so proud of you for you to say, mm-hmm. you know what? I'm going to walk in this life debt free because yes. I don't need to have any chains. I don't need to have any dollar signs attached to me. Right. I am a free child of God. So the Lord wants me to live in liberty and freedom. And so we're going to do that. Yes. And we're supposed to do it together. That was actually something. This is so interesting. I was reading Acts this morning,
yeah.
Acts 3, and it was talking about how all these Christians literally right after Pentecost, which we just celebrated Pentecost, mm-hmm. and literally the Holy Spirit fell. And then these Christians, and they were being added to them daily of 3,000 and all this. And then it said that they all took care of each other. This is the George Brown translation, but they all took care of each other, and people would sell their land and just give to each other.
Wow.
Man, oh man, like this is being the church. The church is not a building. It is the people, the ecclesia, the governing body. It is about the people. And I'm so excited to support you. And, you know, for our friends out there that are like, oh, where should my tithe go to? Maybe this month can go to supporting our sister in Christ, Marie Claire. I think this is just yes. amazing. And so, man, oh man. Okay. Back to the songwriting,
yes.
sister. How do you write your music and your lyrics at the same time? I know that's what yes. I do, but tell me about you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'll just be honest. It's different every time. Like, yeah. The way that I started, I mean, I've been writing my entire life, probably since I was, you know, middle school, elementary school. I don't really know. I thought everyone did it. So I didn't really know it was a special thing.
oh, wow.
From a musical family. Yeah, literally. I didn't know it until my freshman year of college when I showed my songs. And then my professor was like, what? and everyone in class had to write a song, and I wrote mine, and literally it was the best. And then he was like, you're singing this downtown. Like, you're going to do this. And I was just like, what? And he's like, and show me all the rest of your songs. So that's how it started my freshman year of college. And I was like, this isn't normal that people just write songs really easily. So with all that being said, you know, it's usually the best songs for me, most of them come out of my time with the Lord. So
Amen.
I start every morning by getting in the Word and journaling and getting in prayer. And after that, I usually grab my guitar, and then God will give me a little melody. I'll just start playing chords, and I'll just start singing a melody over it. And then he'll give me words. And usually he gives me little, maybe like 2, 3, 4 lines or just a chorus. And it's so funny. Like, I had someone pray, or like someone was speaking, and they were like, you know, I feel like God's saying God only gives you little pieces because he wants you to come back for more. And I was like, you know what? You just really encourage songwriting, because sometimes I feel like, why can't I just finish this? And it's not, the goal is not a finished song. The goal is coming back to the heart of the Father. And that changed the way I view songwriting completely, because I used to feel like a failure when I didn't finish a song. I think a lot of people struggle with that. Just a lot of songwriters, you know, having all these unfinished songs or whatever. And I try to make a practice of finishing songs, but sometimes God will only give you a little chorus, and then 2 years later you may finish it or whatever. You know, some songs need to have time to be able to be finished. Some things can't. The story isn't finished all the time until you live it. So that's how most of my songs come. And then I also do a lot of co-writes in Nashville. I had never heard of a co-write until I moved to Nashville. And so I just started those a couple years ago, but I love those. I love doing co-writes with producers. Matt Mitchell, my boyfriend, and
shout out.
I met him in 2020, and that was the first time I really worked with a producer, and that changed the game for me. Creating a demo in the studio, me just being able to write over the melodies they're playing under me, I was like, this is the best. Mm-hmm. Words and melodies and stuff come really easily to me. Sometimes I feel like I can do a lot of funky chords, but sometimes I'm like, all my songs are sounding the same because I keep doing like similar chords. So it's easy. It's great for me to have someone playing and helping me with some of that. And so, yeah, with other people, but I would say, yeah, my time with the Lord consistently, that's where it happens, or when something really tough happens.
Absolutely.
Usually, you know, like if something rough happens, like actually Matt and I went through a breakup in December and January, and then we got to be back together February. But during that time, it actually, like the month before that, I couldn't write and I felt always stuck. And then we broke up. And I mean, literally all I could do was write.
Oh, wow.
Process. And it was, it's always been such a healing thing for me. That's how it started when I was little. Like when I was hurt is when I would write. When I felt pain is when I would write normally. And it would just help me process my life. And it felt like God was there for a long time before I knew him, helping me heal through my music. And that's why I originally thought I was going to do music therapy, because I knew the spirit of God in music.
Power,
so powerful. So yeah.
You're still doing that, girl. Your lyrics are honey to the soul, because they are truly from the heart of the Father. And even just everything you said was so freeing as a songwriter, because that's me. Like, I will start something and I'm like, what? I'm like, where did this go? And it's crazy how, I don't know if you've ever been this way, but I will start a song and then forget about it. And then out of nowhere, that melody and that song will just come into my mind. And it's warm to my soul, because I'm like, I remember that. And it's like the Lord, you know what it probably is in those moments, Marie Claire, is the Lord's probably like, hey, do you want to come back to me and finish it? That's probably what that is. Oh gosh, man. Oh man. Oh, but I love you. And I love that the Lord has brought you and Matt together. I think this is incredible. And I know we're like towards the end of our time. And so I'm hoping, like, would you like come back and hang out with us? Okay, good. Oh, good. Because I feel like we could do a whole episode on just like dating. Like, let's just talk about it.
Get me in there. Get me on that mic. I will go in.
Seriously. I want you to. I want you to, because man, oh man, I want to have one question for now, just to kind of to dip our feet in. But I will say this. I just love that the Lord has brought you and Matt together, because he is a producer and you are singing and you're like, man, it just felt so good to have a producer. But let me tell you, you don't just have any producer. Like, Matt is anointed, and you know that, and you're anointed, and Matt knows that. And the Lord, in his perfect timing, in his sovereignty, in his love, and obviously he knows what he's doing. He is the creator of the heaven and earth, and you are made in his image. So ladies and gents out there, wait on the Lord's timing. As you have seen Matt's journey on here, we've heard him a couple times when Matt and I were in college, when he was single, I don't even think you were in Nashville yet. Like, my goodness. And so anyways, my question is just to talk about, because we've talked a lot about your story, about how there's been a lot of brokenness, a lot of real things. There have been so many moments far from the Father, a lot of hurt, a lot of moments of being taken advantage of in ways that you should have never been, right? And so many people have to walk through those dark, dark valleys and heal, right? And so many girls out there probably feel like, well, how could a good guy want me? How could a Christian man want me when, you know, I've been through so much? He deserves something better, someone better. I think there have been so many cries of that through just the female heart and mind. And so I would just love for you to talk about that for a second.
Ooh, absolutely. Well, I would just say, you know, your first love.
Come on.
There. Jesus. Matt and I. Now, healing, in the Bible, it says, work out your salvation. The word salvation actually means deliverance and healing with fear and trembling.
Yes.
What that means is salvation is the beginning. It is not the finish line. So when I said yes to Jesus, when I was 16 years old, I was saved broken. And my spirit is perfect now, but my soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, that is broken. It comes broken. It's saved broken. And it doesn't just... I'm sure everyone knows and, you know, relates to this. You get saved, but the next day you wake up, well, you're still the same person, except now you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So you are about to be transformed, and, you know, your flesh needs to die and all these things need to happen, and your past is gone and the new has come, and those things happen, but there is also healing to be had. I started that journey when I was 16, and the first couple years of my walk with the Lord, I mean, God just did such a deep work healing me. Like, freedom in Christ is what I'm most passionate about. I dropped a little clothing line last year called For Freedom apparel, and it's based on Galatians 5:1, my life verse. It's called, "For freedom, Christ has set me free to no longer be yoked to slavery, to no longer return to a yoke of slavery." And that verse just struck me so much that it's for freedom that Christ set me free. So it means Christ has set me free for more freedom. What freedom? Like, there's more freedom to be had. Like Georgia said earlier, there's more freedom in songwriting. There's more freedom. God wants you free. And so when I got saved, a lot of that inner healing started happening and deliverance, and things had to get broken off my life. Things needed to come out of me. Yes. Trauma and soul, you know, soul ties needed to be broken, and spirits that came into me through abuse and depression and things I agreed with and things I knowingly exposed myself to and unknowingly exposed myself to, you know, where there's consequences to sin. And so the enemy, when you open those doors, that's a way for him to come in, and you can make agreements. Now, hallelujah, Jesus and the Holy Spirit drives out every other spirit and every other evil thing. So you can take authority over those things, yes, wherever you are, by the blood of the Lamb. And so I started doing that with people very early on in my walk with the Lord. And those huge hurdles first needed to be healed before I could ever even think of being with a guy. And, you know, relationships with guys was honestly a struggle for me, because I had such a fear of entrapment that, but I still wanted, I wanted that attention from guys so bad. And so I struggled a lot throughout the years, even after I got saved, of trying to discern, you know, who I could be with and who I shouldn't be talking to, and boundaries with guys and all those things, you know what I mean? But I had so much to walk through, so much healing. And I was in a pretty serious relationship when I moved to Nashville, actually. And through that relationship, God really set me free from fear of commitment and fear of marriage. And then we broke up, and God throughout that year just started showing me the kind of man I was actually to desire. Because I had an idol. I had an idol of the man that I wanted and that I wanted to be with and all those things. And so God really just needs to show you what he has for you and the best he has for you. Like, he just needs to show you. And he really had to show me what that was. And yeah, I will just say, like, all shame and guilt and stuff like that about, because you mentioned, like, well, will that kind of man ever love me? And it's like, yes, if you're hidden in Christ.
Come on.
I always tell women, I'm like, you want a man, you don't want to pursue a man. A man needs to find you, and where he needs to find you, if you're a woman of God, is hidden in Christ, which means he has to come to Jesus first to get to you.
Yes.
That's the man you want, because I'm telling you right now, ladies, the reason I'm with Matt Mitchell, the first reason, is because he loves God way more than he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not about him loving me as much as it is about him loving God. Because when he stops loving God, he loves me improperly, you know? And so we both have to first love Jesus and then love each other. But yeah, I don't know if that helps or not. I know I kind of walked around with the answer, but I have just so many feelings and thoughts about dating and relationships and how love is a choice. You know, mm-hmm. Matt and I have walked through pretty hard things in the 2 years of knowing each other. Our relationship from the very beginning started very intense and fiery. And, you know, then we had a friendship for about a year, and then he started pursuing me. But there was so much along the way that just called for me to keep on walking out and working out my salvation. So even though I started doing that when I was 16, I have not stopped, and I will not stop until I get to heaven. And so his brokenness can lead to my deliverance, and my brokenness can lead to his deliverance. And in that, I rejoice so much, so greatly. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Hallelujah. No, sister, that answered the question completely, because it is all about the Father. You have to know who you are in him. Yes. You have to be hidden in him. Yes. And man, oh man, like, may we be just sitting at his feet.
Literally.
Right? Literally. That's where we're called to be. It's just sons and daughters and not looking for anybody. We need to be looking towards Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on him, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith.
Yes.
Denying our flesh is daily. It is a choice, but it is also our greatest joy.
Yes.
If we are in love with him, each and every day we have an opportunity to use our breath, use our thoughts, what we fix our eyes on, where we step our feet, what we listen to, and we can honor him in our relationships. And I feel like that's really exposed in dating, because when you're by yourself, just you, yourself, and I, like, you can kind of be a little selfish. And so I also hear that when I talk to mamas or people that are now married or even grandparents, it's like this journey of the closer that we get to the Lord, the layers are stripped off of us and we throw off the sin that so easily entangles.
Right.
Oh, girl.
Right. Exactly. I mean, gosh. Yeah. You know, it's all about Jesus.
It is.
I've come to realize that, like, and my pastors always tell me this, Pastor Cece Winans, like, she's incredible woman of God, you know, and the best gospel singer out there. I mean, she's just amazing. She's doing amazing. But what she always tells me, and she's like, just fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
What my mentor, Ella Powell, the best singer I've ever heard in my life, always tells me, just fall in love with Jesus.
Mm.
And me and Matt walked through some hard things this past year that I could talk more about on another podcast, but
yeah,
you know, that's what kept me. And my mentor would always just tell me, whenever anything hard would happen, she would tell me, just fall in love with Jesus. You will not even have to control or worry or anything about him, about all these things. Because women, you know, we struggle with that spirit of control and worry really badly. And I could talk about that. But we will.
We're going to leave our friends wanting more for part two.
I know, literally. But yeah, whenever I focus on Jesus, like you just said, I remain at the vine, and it is good. it is good. And I can be at peace no matter what's happening. He is my peace. And if I stay in him, like, nothing can go wrong. He works everything together for my good, you know?
Amen.
So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a savior.
Me too, girl. And I'm thankful for your story. And I just thank you so much for sharing it. And let me ask, so did Matt produce all these songs that are about to drop?
Yes. So this concert we wrote, okay, so let me think about this. Half of them, me and him did together.
Wow.
He music directed the whole concert. So all of them are live songs, which we will release later on as a live EP. He's also producing my up and coming EP that I'm going to put out, which some of these songs, so four of them are unreleased, two are released. And so the four that are unreleased will probably appear on the EP. And he music directed it. But some of them I wrote by myself. One of them, my favorite, it's called Child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Matt and I wrote that last September. And it's just, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, girl. Yeah. I just can't wait. I'm so honored to know you and to call you sister and to call you friend.
You are
a gem. Like, you truly are. You truly are, girl.
Thank you for just having me, and I feel so honored. I feel like I'm like meeting a famous person every time I see you. I'm like, look at Georgia.
I just love you. You're amazing. And I cannot wait for your concert. I'm serious. Like, tell us where to buy our tickets. Your bio, did you say?
Yeah, my bio, mariclr.com, mariclr.com. You can give there. You can buy your tickets there. Everything's online. Concert's June 18th, which is in 11 days. So
countdown.
If you're in Nashville, watch out, because I'm going to have a watch party. You're more than welcome to come too. So, yeah.
Oh, come on. Marie Claire, I love you so much. Thank you for part one. Let's just already put this on the calendar for sometime later this summer. Part two.
Please. I would love that. I love this podcast. This is awesome.
You're the best. Thank you, Marie Claire. Love you.
You're welcome. Love you too, girl.
Friend, thank you so much for joining us today. I pray that this conversation brought a smile to your face and freedom to your heart. It sure did mine. I am so grateful for Marie Claire, and seriously, after this conversation, I'm already ready for part two. Who's ready for a conversation on dating with Marie Claire? Oh, I can't wait. We'll make it happen soon. But until then, we gotta support her concert. It's coming up, y'all. You can buy tickets in her Instagram bio or on her website, just like she said. And I can't wait for these songs to come out and support them and stream them, all the good things. So, y'all, I just hope you have an incredible week. If you loved this episode or any of our previous episodes, please leave us a little review. That helps us so much. But until next week, friend, don't forget, there's a song on your heart only you can sing. Your voice is important. Bye!